Rob, good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, very well. Thanks so much for joining me. Now, firstly, with this new cloud, these new cloud servers, what kind of government data are they going to be handling?
Well, basically, the capability that's being rolled out is essentially a platform on which the government would be running many of its services from what I understand. So the issue is, if you don't get the foundational infrastructure correct, it's built like building a house. You know, if you don't get the foundational sort of infrastructure correct, the rest tends to be less than optimum. So that's where the foundations of things like security, reliability, et cetera, all come into play. So I think it's a really important step, assuming that it all comes together perfectly. It is a really important step to be able to build that capability for scalability and agility at a national level for corporate and government organizations.
Mm. Well, are you able to go into any more detail about what kind of major benefits that this partnership and this cloud infrastructure will have?
Yeah, look, I'm not privy to the specific content of that, but I could certainly talk in more general terms.
Yeah.
One of the challenges facing large organizations is adaptability and the constantly evolving nature of the ecosystem, you know, technology and business and regulatory environments that we live in. So it's really important to build a infrastructure and a capability to support that change capability. Without waste. In other words, you know, you don't build the building and then find out that the tenants' requirements are different to what you've built. You build a building that is very configurable and adaptable. So there's no waste, but at the same time, you're building in all the layers of security, effective governance, so when the organization that is using this capability, they have a new requirement, they can rapidly scale up and respond and deliver services to meet those requirements. So that's essentially the model that is being deployed, from what I understand. And that adaptability has got huge benefits, and they've alluded to things like it has the potential to drive artificial intelligence and a whole range of other things. Whether in fact that is the case remains to be seen, because it is a journey they're embarking on.
Mm. Now, with all of this stuff, it is the prospects are hugely exciting. Going through Microsoft, how much of data handling and data management of the government is done by private companies, and are there risks in handing over this information management to privately run companies?
Well, I think governments rely heavily on the private sector to be able to deliver services, and information technology is no exception to that. In this instance, the data is being housed physically within Australia, within our legal jurisdiction, and and it's almost certain that the contractual obligations on Microsoft or any of the other critical partners of that would be scrutinized in terms of effective governance and application of security and vetting to ensure that, even though it is a private sector organization, that they have they really are working in the best interest of the government. So that really is the key. That is not a question of having a cloud service which is hosted over in the US or in Europe or some other part of the world. That is hosting, our sensitive national data.
Mm. If you're just tuning into The Daily this morning, we're speaking with Rob Livingston, Corporate IT Advisor and UTS Fellow, about the new massive cloud technology Microsoft is building currently for the government. Now, Rob, earlier on you mentioned this could be amazing if everything works out perfectly.
Yep.
What's the potential and the risk if everything doesn't work out perfectly?
Well, assuming there is very effective governance over the processes of constructing and building this capability, that that any changes in requirements that might evolve through that construction and deployment process are taken in and built into the built into the intrinsic capability of what is being done in the rollout of these services. So I think the risk is that in many instances, I mean, the highway of large projects, IT projects, typically is littered with the train wrecks of many failures, and one has to certainly hope and trust that any sort of surprises, if you will, are very, very carefully managed, but nevertheless deliver the capability as expected or as anticipated. I think it's an important thing to balance the hype and expectation of what may or may not be achievable, because vendors and the media and whatever love the next best thing that comes along. And if you look at the theory and practice of the expectations of what can and actually is delivered, reality tends to draw things down to a more practical level. So whilst there's a lot of enthusiasm for the capability, and undoubtedly in the right hands with the right capability and the right people with the right skills, real value can be derived. However, one really needs to moderate the hype and expectations that might be spun about what the promise is.
Yeah, right. So the possibilities don't necessarily equal the realities.
Well, if you look at the large corporate, which is actually large government, there's been many significant failures, many of which have hit the press with large government IT projects. And one hopes that this project in particular, will in fact deliver what it's expected to deliver. And there's invariably are significant cost overruns. There's unexpected pitfalls, etc. So I'm assuming that the implementation and governance processes are really up to the scratch of being able to deliver this this capability, as promised within the window that is expected.
Mm. Well, with that in mind, Rob, a final question for you before I do let you go.
Sure.
With something like this, and some of the AI was dropped in all of the talk about it, and any time AI is dropped, it really gets toes tingling about the future of technology. With this big uptake, though, in modern technology for governance, what do you think this can mean for future potentials in the way that technology is used in governance?
Okay, well, I think, first of all, just on the topic of AI or artificial intelligence, the reality is that artificial intelligence is still a maturing process. And to that extent, there are certainly benefits for using artificial intelligence to augment certain services and make them more consistent and reliable. However, there is still a real issue with artificial intelligence that it might be correct or appropriate 99.9% of times, but when it is wrong, it is catastrophically wrong. So that is, it's not just close enough. That's an issue where results are horrendously way out of expected when it goes wrong. So that is a really moderating influence with AI. Now, when it comes to consumer-level stuff, where if you're using a bit of AI to drive an app on your phone or something like that, and it doesn't work perfectly, it's not the end of the world. But if you're using AI to underpin and deliver mission-critical services, then the application of that needs to be gated and guarded particularly well to make sure that when things do go wrong, there are processes and invariably requires a human brain to actually oversee things when they do potentially run off the rails. So, whilst there is a lot of potential in AI and there's a huge amount of investment in AI globally and locally in terms of its capability, once again, how the hype translates into realizable and sustained value with known risk is the big question.
Fascinating, Rob. It's going to be very exciting to see where this all does go in the future and to see just how much of these fanciful notions do actually translate into reality. Thank you so much for joining me this morning to give us a dose of reality, unpack all of this. Appreciate your time.
It's a pleasure. Bye for now.